to operate in any of these gifts, you're going to have faith. Only faith can move in these gifts. The anointing works by faith. And that's what we're going to have in order to work these gifts, and these fruits of the Spirit will be in our life. 2 Corinthians 13:27, and God has set some in the church. First, apostles. Secondarily, prophets. Thirdly, teachers. After that, miracles. Hey, you want to know where the miracles are? They're still in the church. We just don't have anybody capable of doing miracles. You know, the gifts of healing, all this is in the same verse 27. The gifts of healings and helps, governments, and diversities of tongues. All of these gifts. Now, saints of God, you need to pay attention to these gifts, because these are the gifts that we're supposed to have.
All right, family. You have been listening to the Spiritual Warfare Broadcast with Evangelist Wonder Bell. You can connect with us on Facebook at Evangelist Wonder Bell. Or you can write us at Evangelist Wonder Bell or Spiritual Warfare Ministries at P.O. Box 588.
But when we put it all together, this is what we like to call you,
Jesus. Tune in every Tuesday and Thursday, same time, here on KAYT 88.1. As we go deeper in the Word of God.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT. Praising the Lord.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised Word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
From Hebrews chapter 11, verse 14, we will commence with our message today. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 14. And it simply says, "For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country." May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of His holy word. We have been walking through this chapter of Hebrews, number 11, dealing with faith, and we have not skipped a verse. And there are some verses that doesn't quite seem to stand out as explosively as other verses. But make no mistake, every verse has nuggets and has value, not only to the text, but to the believers' lives. And so we want to walk through these next couple verses and just pick out some valuable nuggets so that it will help us on our Christian journey of faith. Because you're going to note that, again, the word declares everything that's been written has been written for our learning. So there are some things that we can discover from those who have gone on before us that can be a blessing to us, that we're able to learn from and be better because of. Now, again, verse 13 backs up, talking about those died in faith, and all of those going back from the fourth verse through the 11th verse, deals with those persons who had died in faith without having received the promises. And so even though they had not received the promises, the truth or the revelation of the verse says that having seen afar off, and how did they see afar off? By faith. By faith. They were then persuaded and they embraced what would one day manifest itself, but they embraced it as if it had already happened. Now, I've said to you many times before, if you can be persuaded that God is true, if you can be persuaded that he does not lie, if you can be persuaded that what he promises, he provides, then you can embrace it immediately and one, start getting the joy. And then with each passing day, look forward to the manifestation or the expectation of the promise being fulfilled. And this is what they did. But it goes on to say, and they confessed. They confessed that they were one, strangers, and two, pilgrims on the earth. So when verse 14 opens up and says, for they that say such things, it's talking about the strangers and the pilgrims who died in faith. So here it is, if you're taking note. It's talking about people of faith. Note one, people of faith. Verse 14 is talking about people of faith. And so what makes this so wonderful is because not only does it reference people of the past, but it embraces people of the present, and it looks toward the people of the future. But what makes them all common and of one accord is faith. People of faith talk differently than people without faith. People of faith think differently than people without faith. People of faith declare, decree, say it decidedly without even having seen it, because they trust God that much. So when we talk about people of faith, you got to understand that it's already walked through 13 verses of what establishes people of faith. And when you're a person of faith, you've got to know you're a world changer. You're a game changer. You're an atmosphere changer. When you are a person of faith, God hears you and God answers you because you're trusting him. You are taking him at his word. Not seeing it and then saying, God, okay, I see you can do it. But hearing and knowing about that his word says he can and will do, and believing him on that, and based on that, acting as if you've already seen it in the natural when you've seen it in faith. Listen, afar off. You see, people who don't see things the way God wants us to see it by faith will become discouraged quickly. And so if I were to title this message, it would have been titled something like Searching but Not Settling. Yeah, because people of faith search, but they don't settle. If they don't find it, they keep on searching. They never give up and say, well, since I couldn't find it, God knows I looked. I tried my best. I did what I could, and all God expects is what you can do. No, God expects you to trust him.
If he said it's gonna rain, it's gonna rain. Whether you see a cloud in the sky or not, bring your umbrella. And so when you begin to understand, when you begin to recognize that people of faith operate differently, they search but they don't settle. These people were searching. Go back to verse 10. And it's talking about Abraham. For he looked for a city which had foundations, whose builder and maker is, not was, is God. He never found it, but he never settled either. He kept on searching because he said his builder and maker is. So if he didn't find it in what was, then it is going to be, because God's going to make it so. He searched, but he did not settle for what he did see that was not what God said. What makes believers, or so-called believers, maybe I ought to say church folk. What make church folk give up on God so quickly? May I suggest three quick things that I've noticed in my own reading, my own experiences, et cetera, et cetera. First thing is, church folk are lazy. We want stuff handed to us on a silver platter. We don't want to do much. We don't want much that requires of us much. We want to say we're Christians, and that is supposed to work like abracadabra. We're not supposed to go through anything. We're not supposed to deal with anything. We're not supposed to have problems. We just expect that it's just going to happen because we say we're children of the Most High God. And so we seek, but we don't always search. And because we're lazy, we settle. Maybe God changed his mind. Maybe I missed God. Maybe my sins turned God off. Can I tell you, he knew your sins before he ever got turned on? He knew your shortcomings. He knew every mistake you would make. And when he promised you, he knew about all of that before you ever knew you ever existed. But it's an excuse because we're lazy. We don't want to do our part. Another reason why church folk give up on seeking what God has for them is because many times they get lost on the journey, because they don't have a spiritual GPS. They're following other people, and they figure everybody else know where they're going. But how many times God has customized your course, and it might appear that you're going with everybody, but he has also designed your course to veer off from everybody else, and sometimes you're all by yourself. And you meet a stranger every now and then. And so people who don't know God like talking about and hear God and see God in the spiritual realm get lost on the journey. And thirdly, may I suggest another reason? They get led astray because they don't know the word. And everybody that sounds good, everybody who has a sweet moan and a beautiful tone, everybody who know how to quote a few scriptures but can't interpret them, everybody that seems like they're hyped and excited by the Spirit, they may have a spirit, but it may not be the Spirit of God. And you get in behind them and you follow them and you get led astray and miss God and wind up settling for less than God's best. So verse 14 starts off by telling us it's talking about people of faith. But not only does it tell us about people of faith, because for they which say such things, that say such things, listen, declare plainly. That means that they are proven followers, because what that declaration is from the directive of God. They're following God. They know where they're going. They know where they're going. Every now and then there are some twists and turns on the road, but I can tell you they know where they're going, because they know when they hadn't gotten there yet. And if you don't know where you're going, you don't know if you've reached your destination or not. It might look good, but that don't mean that's where you're supposed to end up. And so they are people who follow God. Listen, and one of the things that you've got to understand, not only the people of faith, but when these people of God follow God in this kind of context, they're profound followers. They know, they are proven followers. They have already, this ain't their first rodeo. They followed him from one good degree to the next. They've gone from grace to grace. They've gone from one level to the next level. They are proven followers of God. And see, when you're a proven follower of God, you learn to listen to his voice. You learn to hear what he says. You learn to read the roadmap, the word of God, and follow it to the letter. Amen. Knowing that God knows best. So we discover in verse 14, not only are there people of faith that this word references, but they're talking about also these folk who are followers, these folk who are proven followers. Now, what else do proven followers do? I'm glad you asked. The rest of the word says they seek a country. And that means this, simply stated, press forward. Press forward. This verse reveals to us that people of faith who are proven followers press forward. I can't make it no simpler than that. You see, what happens is they do not get stuck in a rut. And if they do get stuck, they don't stay long. They don't fall into a pity party, become depressed and oppressed. They don't start licking their wounds and talking about, why is this happening to me? They recognize that the enemy is trying to delay them, keep them back from what God has for them, and it could be right around the bend. So while they're at their worst, their lowest ebb, their strength almost gone, they press forward. Listen, the rewards are so much sweeter when you press through what the devil tries to hold back from you. Oh, so many Sundays, my brothers and sisters, God knows with everything in me, I've had to press forward, and many of you have had to press forward to get here. But oh, once you made it, God lifted off that burden from you, that heavy load that seemed to have said, you can't make it, you can't take it, you can't go another step forward, but you press forward. I used to wonder sometime when I talked to the old saints as a young man about getting up early, and I used to did not like getting up early. I'd jump up 35, 45 minutes before it was time to leave, go throw some water up, run underneath it, spin around. Try off right quick, throw my clothes on, spray my spray gun on, get in the car, boom. And I hear some old saints talking about, I've been up since 3:30, since 4 o'clock this morning, getting ready for church. And I'm like, what in the world? Yeah. And then, you know, some of the older saints who will be real with you, they'll tell you, I have to do a little bit and sit down and rest a while. I got to put on my this and then wait a while. Then a little late when I feel better, I put on that and rest a while. And then I get this and put this on. Are y'all going to talk to me here? And they know if they don't get up early enough to take their time, that they'll never make the service. But they press their way against aches and pains. They press their way against time and even got nerve enough to show up early. Lord, I wish I had a helper. It took me a minute to realize that people of faith sometimes got to press their way. And it requires more of them than it does of the average person. But then when you go to verse 15, it says, and truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. So I want to suggest three things why these believers didn't go back. First thing is, they chose not to remember. Chose not to remember. Look at what the word says. And truly, if they had been mindful, if they had simply remembered what they left, if they would have remembered the good old days, if they would have remembered what they left and lost or left behind, if they would have been consumed with what was behind them, they would not have pressed forward. Listen. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out. Again, it suggests here that they chose not to remember that. Now, I'm going to throw this out parenthetically for somebody trying to move forward. In order to move forward, you've got to choose to forget. Paul said, forgetting those things which are behind, not just bad things, not just good things, but all things. You've got to choose to forget. Sometimes you got to make up your mind that I just need to let it go. Remind me of when I was losing my hair. I just woke up one morning and I said, I think I better let it go. Because I think what was up there was fooling me. Y'all don't hear me. You know, don't fool yourself. Don't fool yourself. Isn't it strange that when you remember the good stuff? I stumbled on the photograph. I had thick, curly, black, long hair. Good looking fella. in my own eyes. And looking on that photograph for a moment, when I remembered how I could run my fingers through my own, shake the curls, and then looked in the mirror now, and I made a wonderful discovery. I looked at the photograph, and then I looked in the mirror. I said, boy, that hair was fully, you look better now than you did when you had all that hair. You look younger. I'm gonna have a helper sooner or later in the house. When we talk about remembering stuff, we remember what we want to remember. We talk about the good old days and the good this, that, and the other, and so forth, but the truth of the matter is we're not looking at the whole picture. And the devil would want us to be sidetracked by half-truths, thinking that it was better then than it is now. I got news for you. If your life is better, was better then than it is now, you're going backwards. Your life ought to be better. I don't care what your age, what the stage is, it ought to be better now than it ever was before. You ought to have more sense, number one. You value time now. You don't waste time now. You run here and there. Grandma used to say, boy, slow down. You're going to pass up more than you catch up with. We've got to choose to forget. So listen to that. They didn't remember. But second thing is they didn't retract or retrace their steps. Because the next thing about that is when you retract, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, if they would have thought about all that they are going through because they left a place of comfort and convenience, if they had retraced that back, one, it would have slowed them down on the journey by thinking back and wasting time. See, a whole lot of folk run into the problem of talking about mistakes I made. Well, listen, if I made them, they're past. And good or bad, right or wrong, up or down, I can't change what's been done. I can sit here and regret and cry and moan and groan over what I would have done and should have done and could have done but didn't do, and miss my opportunity now and in the future, because here's what I don't have sense enough to know, that God was working with me then when I messed up.
The teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II offers help for today and hope for tomorrow. Dr. Montgomery would like to know you are being blessed by this program. Our email address is info@greaterkingdavid.org. That's info@greaterkingdavid.org. Our mailing address is The Movement of Christ Broadcast, 911 Lobdell Boulevard. That's L-O-B-D-E-L-L Boulevard, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70806. Visit our website at greaterkingdavid.org, or you may call our office at 225-927-0577. That's 225-927-0577. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, Dr. Montgomery would like for you to do three things. pray for this ministry, partner with this ministry, and tell others about this ministry.